smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoastEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all the listeners from around the world that have been tuning into my show. And it's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all your guys' listenership. We have a great show for you guys today. If you're into cool films or movies or filmmakers, we got writer, director, producer Gerald Brunskill coming into the studio. But before that, we want to do a couple of little plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starroseentertainment.tv. That's www.starroseentertainment.tv. Also, if you want to see our in-studio guests' photos, such as our guest of the hour, Gerald Brunskill, a.k.a. Jerry Brunskill, you could check out our Facebook page over at Star Roast Entertainment over on Facebook. Also, if you like the music we're going to be playing, I loved getting your emails and comments, that kind of good stuff. If you like the music we're playing, or you just like to send some nice positive messages, email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And then last but not least, if you want to hit me up on socials, that's at Tyrone Tan over on Twitter, TyroneTan as in Nancy, N as in Nancy over on Twitter. And then thanks to the hacker there on Instagram, that's at Tyrone Tan Official over on Instagram. And then there's this new thing called Threads, at Tyrone Tan over on Threads, or Official on Threads. And then last but not least, if you really, really want to hit me up on Facebook, that's at Tyrone Tan over on Facebook. Okay, so first off, I want to say thank you to all the awesome guest co-hosts that I've had on throughout the seasons. I just want to say thank you. One of my guest co-hosts is off today, but I do want to say thank you. We've always liked to rotate, and I always like to, like I said, be grateful for all those that come on and just have fun. And it's always kind of cool and fun to have a guest co-host. But again, unfortunately, my guest co-host is off today, and it's also raining outside. And then also, there's a lot going on. I mean, just FYI, the strike is over for all those that have been kind of following up. So it's kind of cool and exciting to see that the strike, which is the Screen Actors Guild, as well as the WGA, that's all kind of done. So I think there's still stuff working out, I'm sure. But, it's kind of cool to see that kind of be over with. Before we bring on our guest of the hour, Gerald Brunskill, who's directed this new film, which I actually got to see. It's called The Adventures of the Naked Umbrella, which is out now. But before we do a quick review, I want to read off some really cool little comments and emails that you guys sent off. And I just want to say that I do get to check them out as much as I can. And I just want to say thank you to all the awesome, people that have been, writing in, because it does mean a lot. And let me just see here. So I wanted to kind of give some credit to some people right now. Let me see. But like I said, because you guys are also awesome and all that. Okay, so I'm going to go to really quick. There's a person named Curtis who actually sent something actually today, who says a very inspiring story had me smile, which is a show that we just aired with I believe with Ryan Hartford. Paul out there says love the show, totally dude, got a job at Showtime, so interesting. So I think you related to the guest, the last guest, Ryan Hartford, who was working at Showtime at one point. So thank you, Paul. And then there's a Gino who says I really love the show. This morning Jurassic Park was my time favorite. It was all time my favorite, which is also one of my favorites as well. And then there's an Alex who says I love stop motion too, and had a Nikon back in those days. So again, just want to give some shout outs to a lot of people that have been emailing. Keep them coming. I like reading them off. Again, thank you guys all for tuning in And I just want to say, like I said, thank you. It's because, like I said, without you guys, there's no show. So what I'm going to do is quickly do a quick movie review. Again, normally I'll have my guest co-host and me banter. But what I'm going to do is talk about this cool movie that I got to check out. And again, now that the strike's over, we could talk about a lot of not just independent films, but just movies that are out there. But this one so happens also to be an independent film as well. Like we always like supporting the independent film. So here's a quick movie that I – or here's a movie – a quick review of a movie I got to check out. Actually, I got to cover the premiere, and then it so happens that the director is going to be coming on to the show. But here's a little quick review. Okay, thanks to IMDb, here's a little quick synopsis. Again, it's called Adventures of the Naked Umbrella, and again, it's out there right now. So here's a quick synopsis, thanks to IMDb. A conspiracy theorist with a pyromania disorder suffers a relapse when his trailer home suddenly explodes, igniting a search for truth that could burn his world to the ground. Directed and written by Gerald Brunskill, who's the guest coming out in the studio, and then starring the awesome Tom Arnold, Richard Reel, we got Taryn Mann, we got Jeremy Davis, Jessica Blair, Vinnie Balbo, you know, a plethora of a great talent who I got to see. And I got to see this movie. And a lot of times when I go cover premieres, sometimes I don't have time to kind of check them out. And not that I don't want to, but this time I actually did actually get the checkout, sat there throughout the whole thing, and I actually enjoyed the movie. And it was actually, it was a fun movie itself. It was unique and it was different, but the acting was great. Directing was awesome. I don't know how to explain it, because there was a lot going on there, and I think the story was unique. My actually cameraman, who was sitting next to me, he really enjoyed it as well. He told me that he liked it too, and he liked the story. So I'm gonna say, if you have an opportunity to check this out, it's out there. I think it's in limited release as well as it's streaming. It's called Adventures of the Naked Umbrella. It's a fun ride, as well as it's a cool. I just love the acting. I think the acting. Jeremy Davis is awesome. Taryn Manning, who I've got to interview throughout the years on the carpet, she was awesome as well. And like I said, it's just a lot going on in there in a good way, and it's unique. There's also a story about like a little alien going on, and so it's. I think it's a fun, well written, well directed, and well acted movie that's out there. And for independent films, I think it's definitely worth checking out there. So check it out, especially Jeremy Davis. This is a really great performance. And actually, all the cast, everyone was pretty much on point. Tom Arnold, I have to give a shout out, who was excellent in this as well. And he always kind of brings laughter to the movies as well. And I always love interviewing him. So he was great as well, Taryn Manning. And I'll give a shout out to executive producer Lawrence Bender, who also EP'd this. And he actually, a little factoid, he gave me one of my first acting jobs. So I want to give a shout out to him, who also was part of this movie. And so, yeah, so check it out. Again, it's called Adventures of the Naked Umbrella, directed and written by our guest of the hour, Gerald Brunskill, who's coming in. So check that out. It's out there. All right. So without further ado, what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be bringing in my guest of the hour. Again, he's a writer, he's a director, and he's a producer. And again, he's got this new movie that I just reviewed called Adventures of the Naked Umbrella. And what we're going to be doing, we're going to bring him in. He's kind of like a manly man kind of a guy. And I thought I'd bring him in to the old school, not old school, I would say... Yeah, let's say old school style Chariot, because I want to, you know, I think he should like feel like kind of like a king, so to speak, coming into the studio. So I'm going to bring him in old school style on the Chariot and with the horses here, and make him feel like this, like the manly man that he is. So what we're going to be doing, I'm going to open up that hatch in the studio. There's a bunch of fanfare outside. And then I'm going to be bringing in, again, the guest of the hour, in the Chariot. Here he comes on the count of three. Here he comes, Gerald Brunskill, into the studio on 1, 2, and 3. Uh-oh. Here he comes on the Chariot. He's waving to all the fans out over there. There he is. Oh, he's stopping for selfies and autographs. There's people, women throwing roses at him. I don't know if he's taking girls. I don't know. We're going to find out. Here he comes. Oh, taking more photos there. Follow paparazzi. Here he comes in the studio. He is a writer. He is a producer. He is a director. And he's got a new movie called Adventures of the Naked Umbrella out. Here he is, coming into the studio. coming down off his chariot. Here he is, Mr. Gerald Brunsko.
Hey, Tyrone. How are you, man?
Welcome.
That was...
Gerald Brunsko to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Welcome there, Gerald,
or a.k.a. Jerry.
Jerry. Yeah, call me Jerry. Wow, that was... I've never been brought in by Chariot.
Oh, really? No.
Never by Chariot. And
we had to bring you in like almost like a king style, so to speak.
Yeah, no, and you had those robot dogs, the horses, you know?
We had to bring you up on style, man. Again, welcome, Gerald Brunsko, or a.k.a. Jerry Brunsko, to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN.
Glad to be here, man.
No, grab the... You actually could use that stand if you want. There's
okay,
a little,
cool.
There's a little cell phone thing there.
That's
for people don't know, we have a little... he's doing something live there, I
Perfect.
Think. But what we want to do, again, so thank you for coming. And number one, it was great to see you again. I know we got to... see you at your premiere, which I got to cover, so we got to meet there, and then and it's great to have you here. So what I want to do is get the I don't know if your people talk to my people, got the memo. we like to start off hard-hitting questions, so to speak. You know, we want the audience to get to know you, if not fans of you already, hopefully become more fans or support you, and most of all, hopefully get to check out your movies and stuff like that.
Awesome.
So we always like to start off with this hard-hitting question, Mr. Jerry Brunsko. Here we go. The hard-hitting question is, where are you born and raised?
Where was I born and raised?
Yeah.
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, home of Prince. Among
oh, wow.
Others. Yeah.
Now, did you know growing up that you always wanted to be in the entertainment industry, a writer, producer, or director? Or
I did.
You did?
I did. Earliest memories are making films on 8mm cameras and having live concerts in my parents' basement. We had basements in the Midwest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, the tornadoes or anything? Or?
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
Really? Okay.
So, we just did tons of shows and productions and definitely had it in me from straight out of the womb.
Wow. Now, who were your, obviously you said straight out of the womb, so to speak, but who were your inspirations, so to speak, going into filmmaking? I mean, was it, because do you recall about how old you think you were when it really hit you, so to speak, of wanting to get into
earliest memories are just finding the camera in my parents' basement, again, the basement, and just wanting to make films. I think I remember, just seeing children's programming and stuff that sort of inspired me, but nothing really, comes to mind. But we made this video with a fish line on a golf ball, and I got my mom to be the golfer, and she would like hit the make the putt, and the golf would,
Oh, wow.
We'd pull the string, and it would go through a hole. Maze and go into the hole. We thought we were so clever.
Now, when you say we, who is that? Your brother or sister?
My good friend Joel okay. Simonson, my sister usually was. She was there for part of it, but yeah. I usually made her do the stunts,
or makeup or something, or maybe help with the catering or craft service or anything like that.
No,
or every part that you need to fill.
We just and just tortured my sister generally. Yeah, it was
That's what's funny, because when I did home videos, I had three sisters. I had no brother, so my little sister was always doing some part, maybe put her in a wig or something, anything like that to fulfill little home movies as well.
Sure.
That's kind of cool. And it's kind of cool that it kind of reminds me, like Steven Spielberg, if you saw The Fablemans, he had his siblings be part of his kind of film. So it's kind of cool. So was there anyone specific as a filmmaker or director that inspired you as well?
You mentioned Spielberg, and I just remember like is that my phone?
No, that's actually, okay. I think that was my phone.
Whoops. Yeah. Spielberg, Jaws freaked me out, scared the heck out of me, and also inspired me.
Wow.
I just was sort of riveted to all his work early on. And now hearing just what he went through with like that shark that it kept sinking.
Yeah.
And, because making indie movies especially is really a course in problem solving. That's more what it's about than anything.
Yeah.
And just hearing that, he couldn't get the shark to run or stay afloat, during critical scenes, he thought he was going to go bankrupt. So, or bankrupt the movie, the movie studio. So, I would say that it was probably him.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then now, what about actors? Was there anyone that you felt? And why didn't you? Why filmmaking versus maybe getting into acting? Just curiosity.
Well, I was, you know, I was acting in the movies as well.
Okay.
But I like performing. I was also a musician from a young age and had a weird sort of like almost like another life memory. Not memory. I just sat down in the drum set one day and started playing.
Oh, awesome.
And so I immediately, you know, started playing in bands and all that kind of stuff. And so, we were rocking and rolling. We were making films. We were acting in them. We were putting on live shows. You know,
oh.
Yeah. It was all of the above.
Now, were your parents, were they supportive on your venture? Or did they think this was just a hobby thing? Or did they honestly think this was something you were going to actually decide to do as a career?
My parents were the most supportive parents ever. I mean, we lived in Minnesota. We had a single car garage. And they took that garage and made it into a little studio for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like soundproofed it and, you know, let me practice my drums in there. And we, you know, recorded things, made our films. And, I mean, this is a place where it gets down to minus 20, minus 30 below. And they were willing to put their car out in the yard so that I could do my thing. My parents were the best. Oh. They never, ever said, you know, have a contingency plan, you know, all that. Just said, you know, you want to be a musician, we'll help you, you know, get a drum set. You want to be a garbage man, we're going to buy you a bucket.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Now, because you're from, you know, from Minnesota, and I get a lot of people from all over different states, but they always come to LA, but they also say to me when they're, especially when they're coming like Midwest or something like that, they'll say, it was unfathomable to even think I was going to be in this industry because there's not much that goes on. Was there a lot going on in entertainment-wise in Minnesota? And
Not at the time. Not at the time. There was very little going on. You know, a few shows had been sort of based there, but they weren't actually shot there. It really wasn't until the Prince era, and that started to attract a lot of, you know, people to town, and that's when a show, Star Search, came to town.
Ed McMahon?
Yeah, my band got on that, and we ended up winning it. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, yeah. Where was it? What kind of band? Rock and roll band? Or
It was kind of like late new wave.
Really? That's awesome.
Sort of thing, yeah.
What was the band called? Or is it something you don't want to supply?
Worst name ever. Limited Warranty.
Okay.
Never put limited in something you want to perpetuate for the long run.
Limited Warranty. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's cool. So what was that feeling like when you won? I mean, because that was...
It was amazing. I mean, that was my first experience in California. I was right out of high school. And, you know, we auditioned the first year and didn't get on. They came again the second year. And 2 weeks later, I was in Hollywood. It was amazing.
And for those that don't know or remember, I know we got a young generation that listened to this. Star Search was kind of like the American Idol of the day, where they find talent and stuff like that. Like American Idol is predominantly just singing, but this one was like you discovered acting or music,
dancing,
that kind of stuff. So and it was hosted by Ed McMahon, and it was cool, and it was a big deal. So that's cool. So once you kind of got that, did you feel like you were going to soar into the music industry, or did you still think filmmaking was your thing?
You know, I'm the kind of guy that's attracted to whatever's happening in the moment. I get my own sort of energy from things that are giving me feedback, and music was giving me feedback at the time. So I went all in with music, and we signed with Atlantic Records after we won, and did three records and toured and made videos. I mean, I worked with our directors to our music video directors to, you know, shoot the things. And then I took a video camera on tour with all that. We got to open for a whole bunch of cool bands.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I shot all that. Yeah.
So then when was the point where you just said, okay, I'm done with the music. I'm going to focus more on directing?
It really wasn't until, you know, after the internet sort of really happened and that kind of killed the music business in the short term. And everybody sort of scrambled. Yeah, we need to find a new way to make a living. You know, suddenly you really couldn't make a living like you used to selling records and CDs. Downloads kind of killed all that. Yeah. And I had a journalism degree, and I always wanted to sort of pursue that as well. So I started Work with some friends in journalism at Al Gore's old place. What was that old? It was called Vanguard.
Okay.
And then ended up at Vice News, and I worked with I did a lot of conflict zone coverage.
Oh, wow.
For 3 or 4 years.
Wow, wow. Yeah. What was that like?
Dangerous.
Wow, that must be kind of cool, though. I mean, in the sense of, you know, because you feel like you're in something very important,
yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah, we did, you know, we did all the crazy ones overseas. And then when we went to Nigeria to cover Boko Haram, that was the last. I mean, that we were supposed to be there for 6 days and ended up getting stranded there for 31.
Wow.
And scared the crap out of me. So that was.
Wow. Well, thank God that you made that out alive, so to speak. So yeah. Then after that, were you just like, okay, I got to start doing films myself, my own films.
I was already writing screenplays and had been dragging one particular idea around town. And I think I had actually begun shooting that. Yeah, that was 2013. And so, yeah, then I kind of, you know, getting your first film off the ground and moving it through production can take years.
Yeah.
And this did, actually.
And which film was that?
It's called It's God, G-A-W-D. Yeah, that's on Amazon or on Prime Video. And that was my first film. Made it with Tommy Chong.
Okay, and what was that one about?
It was based on a series of books that I had read called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And okay. Really loved the messages in these books, but I wanted to present them in a way that was just more mainstream. And comedy's always been one of my vehicles for taking on more serious topics. I think, you know, if you can get people laughing, you can hit their heart a little easier.
Yeah.
And so I endeavored to make this comedy about a creator, G-A-W-D, who is about to be fired from planet Earth because Earth's not doing so well.
Oh, wow.
So, so he comes here and ends up with his own YouTube channel.
Oh, that's all. Now, and for that, now, for someone that's, again, starting out, for people out there starting out, for you going into that endeavor and then getting that first feature off the ground, how long did that take you? And then what was the process for you to finally, okay, I got this off? And, you know, because there's a lot of people that are aspiring to do that as well. And like, what was your process itself, like getting that first one off before you started doing your next ones and then the ones we're going to be talking about?
My process was, anybody who would listen, I wrote this thing kind of on a whim. I'd had some writing classes, but I hadn't really written an actual movie screenplay. And I was just so inspired by this book that I set about doing it. I mean, I sort of created the character God based on the author of these books, who was this super, just really in tune, enlightened guy. But he would also, you know, he had his human flaws, and I kind of liked that. There was something funny about that that sort of echoed the way Earth was. Like, it's beautiful and all the spiritual nature of the world and the universe, and then, you know, you stub your toe and, you know, you blame it on somebody else.
Yeah.
So that's sort of that was, but anyway, I originally had this idea that God would have a talk show. That was in 2007. And my friend worked at ABC at the time, and he said, hey, Jimmy Kimmel's stage is going dark during the holiday break. We can go in there and shoot. And I was actually working with the author of the books, and he knew Ed Asner Ed had done all the audiobooks. Mm. And he called Ed and said, hey, you want to play God, you know, on this little sort of proof of concept we're doing.
Yeah.
And Ed said, sure. And so we got into Kimmel's stage, and we made this little bit. And first pitch at ABC, sold it.
Wow.
That was the kiss of death for me, because once you like sell something in the room, especially your first time, you think it's always going to go that way. It never goes that way, ever. It never has since. And ABC ended up not making it. It sat on the shelf for 3 or 4 years. I found a friendly attorney who wiggled it back out. So come 2013, we had raised enough money to shoot the first part of it. Then I spent, you know, the next 3 years raising more money and finishing it. And it premiered on Prime Video summer of 2017.
Wow. So we went from Ed Asner to Tommy Chong. Is that how?
Yeah.
It went?
Oh, yeah.
And then so how was Tommy Chong's involvement? Or what was it about him that made you? Did you grow up with the Cheech and Chong films? Or?
Oh my goodness! Yeah, yeah. I love Cheech and Chong, and I love Tommy. I always felt like Tommy had more in him than just the stoner jokes.
Yeah.
He's such a genuine, nice man, and funny, and very charismatic, and very loving and caring. And he went to, he ended up being arrested for selling bongs, or his son was selling bongs, and they were, sorry, you said it's a family show, you should be talking about it.
That's fine.
He was shipping these things across country, and it was a setup by the district attorney who had it in from him. He spent 18 months in jail, and he wrote this book called The I Chong, you know, wow. Kind of like The I Ching. And I read it, and I was blown away, like, wow, this guy is exactly in the headspace. And I got his email from a friend, and I wrote him an email.
Wow.
And he wrote me back in 2 days. Hey, man.
That's awesome.
I like what you wrote. Can I come by?
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And then it's obviously then that spawned obviously more your filmmaking career.
Yeah.
And then obviously you were doing it since you were a kid, but that was your first taste in the films. And from that point on, we're like, okay, I got to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I really, you know, when I, the first time I directed something was with Ed Asner on that reel we shot. And I went, wow. A, how do I know how to do this? How do I know how to direct actors? And B, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And why did I just spend the last 15 years in music? Because I like this more.
Yeah.
Producing music, communicating how you want the guitar player to play the solo is the same skill set as communicating to Ed Asner how you want him to act like God when he's sitting at a desk. So it was the same skill. And then I just sort of, I backtracked, learned the technical side of it as I was sort of shooting more things. And here I am.
Awesome. Well, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be cutting to a music break, speaking of music we were talking about, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about your career, but also your new movie, Adventures of the Naked Umbrella. I want to know where you get that, what the title came from, so to speak. And then, and then we'll talk more about your career. So I also want to plug it too, but don't tune out. So how can people check it out? And we're going to talk more about it, obviously, but how could they check it out before?
Yeah, it's in limited theaters around the country. Mainly in the Midwest, but I would say that the best place to see it now is on streaming. It's on Apple Plus. It's on Prime Video. It's on Vudu. It's on DirecTV, Dish, Verizon. Awesome. Kind of like all the streamers.
Basically. Okay, cool. Yeah. So we'll be back more with Jerry, aka Gerald Brunskill. What we're going to be doing is, like I said, we're going to be playing a song of the hour, and then we're going to be talking more about Adventures of the Naked Umbrella, starring Tom Arnold, Taryn Manning, and a plethora of great actors. Okay, we'll be back more here. Oh, do you have any social medias or anything like that? Or
yeah, I've got me. I've got my Instagram, and Naked Umbrella's got an Instagram. I've got Facebook.
What is your Instagrams for you?
My Instagram's at Jerry Brunskill.
At Jerry Brunskill, and then the adventures, and then the movies?
It's Naked Umbrella, I believe.
It's Naked Umbrella.
Yeah, at Naked Umbrella.
at Naked Umbrella. Okay, yeah. So check it out, but don't tune out. We'll be back more with writer, director, producer, Gerald, aka Jerry Brunskill. After this, we're going to be playing. Actually, I'm going to be playing one of our guests that was on their new song. It's called Dragon. Again, this is Valerie Pascal, and we'll be back more here with Jerry Brunskill. Again, here is Dragon by Valerie Pascal, and we'll be back more on StarWarsEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. We'll be right back.
All genres, all indie. Now listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
Make you fall in for sure.
You cheated. What's the point?
That was Dragon by Valerie Pascal. If you like that song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. But better yet, if you really like that song, check her out. Again, it's her name is Valerie Pascal, V-A-L-E-R-I-E, and then P as in Paul, A-S-C-A-L-E. Check her out. She's on Spotify. She's got music videos on YouTube. But she's out there. She's a dear friend, and she was actually a guest on our show. So check her out again. Her name is Valerie Pascal.
I liked it.
All right, cool. You liked it.
I loved
awesome.
It.
Cool.
Really.
Yeah. What kind of? And speaking, I know you were a musician, but what kind of music do you like listening to as well?
Yeah, I'm all over the place. I was trained classically in school. I was a trumpet player, but I quit because it made my lips swell up. But you know, I learned all the classics that way and music theory, and moved on to the drums. So then I was into drummers, jazz drummers at first, and then rock and roll drummers, and that sort of led me into a lot more rock music. Then I got funky with the Prince thing, ended up kind of hanging out at the Prince camp for a few years.
Wow.
And he used to call me White Jerry.
Wow. And this is Prince, formerly known as the artist as well.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, we are back here. We forgot to come back to tell you. We're back here with writer, director, producer of the new movie, Adventures of the Naked Umbrella. Back here with Gerald Brunskill, a.k.a. Jerry Brunskill. So welcome back. And now you just talked about, you kind of delved into talking about Prince. So how did that happen for you I know you're in your group, and then how did you get into introduction with Prince?
We were doing clubs and stuff still coming up, and he obviously had heard about our band because we started to get national attention and got signed with Atlantic. And then one night I heard, Prince is coming, he's going to come and see you. Yeah. And he did. He came and sat in the back for like 25 minutes, just stoic. And then I got a call like a week and a half later, said he wants to meet you. Okay. So they brought me out to, it was right before it was sort of at his old warehouse where he used to rehearse. And my drum tech, Danny Soltis, brings me up to Prince. And he's like, Jerry, Prince, Jerry. Prince is sitting on a bar stool, arms crossed, just kind of looks at me, doesn't say anything. He's totally testing me, right? And of course, my nerves are going crazy. I'm like, and finally I go, where's the bathroom? It's the first thing that came out of my mind. And he still doesn't say anything, doesn't blink. He just points that way.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So so let's talk about, so of course you talked about your last movie. It's God. And then that was your first delve into doing a feature. Is that correct?
First feature, correct.
With Tommy Chong.
The late Luke Perry, God rest
him. Oh, was he in that?
Okay. Yeah, it was one of his last movies.
Wow.
Boo-Boo
Stewart?
He's so great.
Awesome. And for those that don't know, how was it like working with Luke Perry?
Luke is the most nurturing guy. He took me under his wing, knew I was, you know, a first-timer, and just said, don't be nervous, just embrace the moment. He would offer me advice, but never tell me what to do. You know, he would just suggest things, and it was collaborative, just super nice. He would show up with his minivan, you know, and with the kid seats in the back. His kids were younger at the time. I just found him to be the loveliest human being ever, and it just was heartbreaking, you know, when he passed.
Well, so then you went from that, and then what was your next film? And then obviously that led up to Adventures of the Naked Umbrella.
Yeah. So I was working on a lot of different things. I started working with Amazon Prime Video. I got hired when they were first starting to stream, and I was sort of on a contract to, you know, just help with the bottleneck. Just, you know, getting a huge streaming service up and running is very complicated, and there's all kinds of reasons that the movies sort of get stuck in the pipeline. Closed captioning's wrong, or this is wrong. And, you know, I wasn't shooting anything at the time, so I took the 6-month consulting gig and sort of helped with that. And I ended up working on a lot of different Amazon shows. I ended up working on Man in the High Castle and Bosch. And I got hired to be to go on the road with the Grand Tour guys, which used to be Top Gear, which was at the time the most famous or the biggest show in the world. And I went all over the world with these guys shooting, you know, sort of recording originally like shooting BTS and, you know, working with them. And then suddenly I ended up shooting segments and stuff and, you know, stuff ended up getting included in the show. So that was really cool.
Wow.
Then I came home and COVID hit, and I was on the internet for about 2 weeks, and everybody was going down conspiracy rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And I knew I had to get away from it, and I drove out to Salton Sea, and I wrote Adventures of the Naked Umbrella.
Wow. So speaking of, let's talk about Adventures of the Naked Umbrella. Tell the audience what it's about. Obviously, you shared a little bit of how it inspired you, but, you know, what was the actual nucleus of this particular movie?
Yeah. This was the time when, you know, we were all in COVID. It was like we were in quarantine. We couldn't go anywhere. And then the George Floyd thing happened, which was really terribly upsetting. And there was all this disunity in the country. And I felt myself feeling negative emotions toward my fellow human beings, ones that didn't maybe align with the way I thought things should be, especially some of the, in my opinion, falsities that were being spread on the internet. And I just said, I got to get off, number one. And I just want to maybe just start writing. I had this idea of a character who believed in every conspiracy that you could imagine, you know, from aliens to the CIA, you know, poisoning us or, you know, all the things. And but I wanted to create a character that I could empathize with. And that's where Jeremy's character, Sam Winooski, came from. So I should include that my dear friend Lori Sheffa had showed me a script about 15, maybe 10 years prior, and it was about a pyromaniac whose house blows up and has to go on the run. The Naked Umbrella was actually her title. Mm. And I always loved it. And I always wanted to make a show about a pyromaniac because as a kid, I loved fire. And as an adult, there were some conspiracy theories that I was really into, too, at least, you know, at certain times of my life. And so when all this came together, I sort of I kind of merged the two ideas and, you know, made my conspiracy theorist recovering pyromaniac who is sort of triggered by all this, and he has to go on the run to redeem himself, but also maybe face some of the, reconcile some of the things he's been, you know, sort of spewing on his podcast.
Well, it's interesting. There's a really big twist at the end, which I don't want to reveal, but that's what I think a lot of people, I remember in the audience, and you had it at the Westwood Theater, the Westwood Village.
The Village Westwood,
it was cool, and it was a lot of people. So I sat in the back because I like observing, and then I could tell, like, when they got to the end, everyone was just like, wow, you know, it was one of those endings. So it was cool, kind of cool, without giving that away, but was that always part of your story, or the twist ending, or was that something that you came up with, you know, as you're filming, going, you know, I want to have this twist? Where was there always that twist?
That was part of Laurie's story, and I love that part. I love that twist. I always called it sort of, well, I don't even want to say that because it might give something away, but I integrated that, I, you know, again, because I really did want to take on the idea of mental illness. And not make fun of it at all. I mean, there are a lot of people, especially during COVID, who really struggled with, you know, issues of mental illness. And I wanted, again, just for people to feel for this guy and root for this guy and feel sympathy. So I kept that in for sure.
Now, through the writing process, did you always have Jeremy Davies in mind, or was this something, when you write, is it something you just kind of write and then really don't know who you have pictured, and then when it comes to casting, you kind of, he walks in and kind of thing?
Yeah, I didn't. I had, you know, I had discussed with Laurie, like, Billy Bob Thornton back in the day, but a younger Billy Bob Thornton. The guy I see now, I'm not sure that he would. You know, I wanted a guy that was a little more fast-talking and energetic, and Billy seems to be, you know, more chilled out lately. I really stopped thinking about it and just worked on the character, because honestly, it was more of an exercise for me of just getting through the pandemic, finding something to do besides being stuck on the internet. We weren't working. I gave it to a casting director, a good friend, who read it and just said, this is great. We should put this up. And I went, really? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, well, what happens then? She's like, well, some actors will like it. They'll want to meet you and talk to you. And then the next thing you know, I was Zooming with half of my heroes in Hollywood.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. People that I've always wanted to work with, people that I've looked up to my whole career, here they are on Zoom wanting to be in my movie. And then I did Jeremy, and I went, oh, man, this is him. This is Sam.
Well, Jeremy Davis did awesome. And that's the thing. There's so much dialogue and so many facets, and it was really like, then you try to picture, like, who else could have done this after? And after you, like, you see him, you go, okay, he's probably perfectly made to do this role. And then Taryn Manning did awesome as well. So, and then for you, what was it about Taryn for yourself that what made you choose?
Well, you know, I loved her on Orange is the New Black. I loved her, I can't remember.
Was it
Poza?
8 Mile? No.
Poza, Kentucky. Yeah. I can't think of what. Anyway, it was like a hybrid word. I loved that character, and she did it so well. I remember Taryn in Hustle and Flow, and just remember just thinking what charisma she had. And, you know, when I suggested Taryn, Amber got in contact, and we did a Zoom, and Taryn was pretty honest. She just said, you know, I've done a lot of these characters. I've done a lot of the white trash, you know, kind of thing. And I really like your script, but I'm not sure that I want to do it anymore. And I said, I totally get that. If I can go back and just sort of write more heart into Irene, which is the character's name, and also just some little hints that she's smarter than she comes off. There's a scene in particular that worked out really well where it's a love scene. They're in the sand dunes. They're on the run, and they're hiding out in the sand dunes. And Sam, Jeremy, runs up to the top of a dune, and he starts quoting Shakespeare from Henry V. We had been saying it because it's about a muse of fire, and just kind of joking around. And I had Jeremy say it, and then I had Taryn originally say, was that Springsteen or Skinner? I don't quite remember which line or who it was. And he laughs. He runs down and he says, it's getting a little chilly. And she's like, yeah, would you mind fetching me my knickers, Shakespeare? And just little hints like that, like she knew you know, Irene knows what's going on, and she's sort of actually his rudder in the world, yeah. even though she's wacky and zany too.
That's awesome. And then Tom Arnold, obviously, who always does. Yeah. The, what was it about Tom for you? Like
when, first thought, I just that was one where he just visually popped into my head.
Really?
And I didn't think I'd get him. I really didn't. And again, Amber working those miracles, send it to him, and within a week he said yes.
That's awesome.
And I was just like, wow.
And Mr. Castillo is Amber Horn, is that correct?
Amber Horn.
And let's give her a shout out, Amber Horn, casting
Amber
director.
Amber Horn. And her partner, Danielle, helped as well. But yeah, Amber was with me through thick and thin. Man, she was really there for me.
And then you said, you mentioned Lori, what's her name?
Lori Sheffa.
Lori Sheffa. Mm-hmm. And she was the one that helped.
Lori and her friend Karen wrote a screenplay about 10, 15 years ago. And they had the idea, the original idea of a pyromaniac, but I combined it in the modern times with the pandemic and conspiracy.
So will we be giving anything away where the naked umbrella, what the meaning of naked umbrella is, or is that, will that be given?
I won't tell you how it applies to the film, but okay. I'll tell you what a naked umbrella is.
Okay.
A naked umbrella is a umbrella without the fabric, sort of the skeleton of an umbrella. There's a shot of one in the movie, if you remember. Something happens that removes the fabric from that umbrella, and that sort of gets locked in Sam's mind. That was a traditional, or not traditional, very poignant transition. I can't think of the word right now. Just one of those markers in time that a catalyst that sort of planted within him and set the stage for the rest of his life.
Wow. Well, if you guys want to know more about this really cool film, it's out there. Again, it's called Adventures of the Naked Umbrella. We got like 4 minutes left, buddy. Yeah. So how could they check it out one more time?
Apple TV, Prime, Vudu, Spectrum, the Verizon one. I'm trying to think what it is. Dish, DirecTV, kind of all the streamers except Netflix and Hulu, because I don't want to talk crap.
Got it. But it's out there. Also, it's in some limited theaters. It depends on where you're at. But also, again, check it out streaming. And then the social media is on it one more time.
Yeah. I
think it's at Naked.
I think it's at Naked Umbrella. Naked Umbrella. I should make sure just so I don't give out the wrong one. But my social is at jerrybrunskill.com.
And that's Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, and then last name B-R-U-N-S-K. I-L-L.
Correct.
So it's Jerry Brunskill.
And then a Naked Umbrella is at Naked_Umbrella.
Awesome. Well, Gerald, a.k.a. Jerry Brunskill, the show is ultimately about inspiring others. You've been inspired. We want to inspire those. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that maybe wants to become a director, a writer, a producer, or, you know, just follow their dreams in general?
The technology is there for you to do whatever you want now. The cameras are cinema-grade quality that you can get at Best Buy. The editing systems, most of them are free or, you know, very inexpensive. I would say create and don't stop because nobody is going to come looking for you. And it's very, very hard to get attention these days if you just, you know, have a, I mean, I've never had an agent that got me a gig in this town. I make my own opportunities. I remember reading about Mark Duplass, the Duplass brothers. Duplass. Same kind of thing. Create your own opportunity. And everybody I know that's thriving and succeeding has done that. It's just not that business anymore where, you know, an unknown can get an agent and go out and get work. It just doesn't really happen. You got to generate your own opportunity.
Awesome. Well, again, I want to say congratulations on this movie. Congratulations on all your success. And thank you for coming on. And again, you guys want to support him, check out, again, Adventures of the Naked Umbrella. Again, it's starring Tom Arnold, Richard Reel, Taryn Manning, Jeremy Davis.
Not forget Darnell Rhea. She does a wonderful job.
Darnell, yes.
Sam's probation officer.
Yeah, she did awesome as well, Darnell Rhea. And there's a plethora of great talent in this thing. And I applaud you on this. And it was a really, really cool flick, and it was a great premiere as well. And I want to say thank you, God bless you. And anything else you want to shout out or anything really quick?
I just want to say thanks to my entire team, who has helped me immensely. It is not a one-man band kind of thing, it takes more than a village. And I'm forever grateful for everyone who's helped. And that includes yourself, just having me in, just getting the word out. It's hard to get noticed, man. So I super appreciate it.
No problem. Again, thank you guys. And spread the word, people out there all over. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all the listenership. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. And again, it's called Adventures of the Naked Umbrella. Adventures of the Naked Umbrella. Adventures of the Naked Umbrella. You know why I say it, three times?
I've heard this. Tell me though.
Well, psychologically, if you know something, if you hear something out loud three times, you memorize it. So,
all right, I
all right.
Love
so
it.
Again,
I love it.
So, thank you. God bless you. Again, this is Gerald Brunskill, aka Jerry Brunskill, writer, director, producer of Adventures of the Naked Umbrella, out there on streaming. Check us out. Check it out. And then I thank you all. God bless you guys. And I'd like to end off my show, Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.